From San Francisco, this is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight, Sheila takes you backstage for a behind-the-scenes visit with today's music makers.
Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer. Well, all right.
Hi, I'm Sheila Renee, and backstage with me tonight, a one-of-a-kind type guy, George Thorogood. In 1977, I went for my first interview with George. We were both so new to the business that we ended up interviewing each other. I've had the pleasure, though, of watching George grow into a very confident, but always accomplished musician. 1981 is the year of Thorogood, 11 dates opening for one of his biggest groups, the Rolling Stones, plus more to be announced. His own No Nights Off 50-50 tour is going very well across the country right now. Actually, it'll be 51 dates in 50 states by Checkered Cab. That's 11,424 miles when they pull into Pasadena, California for the 50th stop.
This is Sheila Renee backstage. Tonight's guest is George Thorogood.
His old friends and band members, Billy Blau on bass, Jeff Simon on drums, and recently added sax whiz, Hank Carter, are having the time of their lives. They're actually receiving keys of the city along the way. George has given up playing baseball for rock and roll, so watch out. Here's George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
I come in last night about a 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in.
backstage with George Thorogood, minus the Destroyers today. Where are the Destroyers?
Well, they're all back on the East Coast.
They haven't come out.
Getting scruffed up.
Getting ready.
Getting greasy.
All right.
They had to keep me away from the East Coast because I was getting greasy enough. I was getting too greasy. They're going back and getting greased up.
Getting greased up. Getting ready to play another big show.
Another big show with the kings of rock and roll, the Rolling Stones, and the Jay Giles Band.
And the Jay Giles
Band. Who are merely awesome.
I was saying when you first came in, you look thinner. You've obviously been going through a training for this 50-50 tour.
That's,
there was some that talk that you were doing 9 miles a day.
Well, I got up to that, yeah.
Running?
I didn't start with that, but I got up to that. I did it a couple times. But I started a program. I have a bad shoulder. I've had it dislocated 3 times. And the last 2 years, I've been going to a place working out just to stay in normal, you know, shape, you know. And when I went this year, I told them about this tour we were going to do, and they kind of put me on an extensive program, kind of get me so I'd be ready.
Oh, well, I'm ready. Willing, able to rock and roll tonight. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll tonight. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock it, gonna rock it till the broad daylight. Because I'm ready, and I'm willing, I'm willing and I'm able. You better come along with me. We're gonna rock and roll. Now, baby, just wait and see. Well, talking on the phone is not my speed. Don't send me no letters, cause I can't read. Won't be long, honey, I've been told. We gonna shake right on the road. Because I'm ready, willing, able to rock and roll tonight. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock it, gonna rock it till the broad daylight.
How'd you finish your baseball season this year? Were you happy with the way you
Well,
finished?
I kind of retired, Sheila, to tell you the
Have
truth.
You?
I kind of, you know, I kind of thought the best thing I could do for the sport would be retire, to tell you the truth.
But George.
I backed out. Yeah, I backed out. I'm owner. I'm team owner. We went on strike, you know. We went on strike. And during the strike, I went to Australia and New Zealand. And while I was there, I said, hey, this is the best thing I got to offer the world. So this is what I'll do.
Music.
Yeah, this is what I'll do.
All right. Well, it's kind of...
I hope the music world is no worse off for it.
Come on, pretty baby. We're going to rock it, going to rock it till the broad daylight.
Tour. We're talking 50 states in 50 days. The only allowance you're going to have is to fly to Canada.
Well, right? fly to Hawaii and fly to Alaska, and then fly to Seattle, I think.
Yes.
And then drive.
And we're talking a checkered cab.
Mm-hmm.
With all four of you guys in that cab.
Right on.
Have you got it equipped any special way? You're going to be able to watch any TV right
now? No television. No television. No drinking. No nights off.
Just straight ahead.
Just play.
Is this the same Chevy Suburban that you came out with that you're still driving?
We still have that, but we don't use it anymore.
I thought you were going to take some of the equipment in there.
Well, we got a truck or a van or something to haul our stuff in, but we haul the bodies in the checker.
The bodies in the checker, and then the separate four crew guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
all
that. They got their own thing going.
And all the equipment, George. Yeah. All the equipment.
Yeah,
we're talking about two amps. We're talking about two amps.
That's all you need. All the semis and all the light crews and all that. It gets to a point where it stops and you gotta come up with the goods, you know. Hey, I could see James Brown with a megaphone, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, everybody said, well, lights help and the right amps help and all that and the right PA and the right monitors. But, that's overrated, that equipment thing. We should extend our thing a little bit just to be careful in case something breaks, have a spare and all that. But
well, you carry a spare guitar.
Yeah, I got a couple spare strings. I think I got an extra slide laying around somewhere.
What are you using for a slide today?
I use a piece of copper metal like Muddy Waters uses.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of them. I think I lost one in Buffalo or something. I think I threw it into the crowd. I got a little excited.
I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able to rock and roll all night. Come on, pretty baby, we're gonna rock and roll, rock until the broad daylight.
In the case of George Thorogood, a little goes a long way. At a time when bands have almost priced themselves out of a job because of tons of equipment, George and the Destroyers travel with the bare minimum. As long as he has somewhere to plug into, George will always have the power to give his audience what they want. We'll be right back with more from George Thorogood.
This is Gregory Harrison from Trapper John, M.D. There's nothing more important to us than our health. Yet nearly a third of our children under the age of 18 have never seen a dentist. That's not only bad for the health, it could be bad for the wallet, because neglecting regular checkups can allow dental problems to become more serious and more expensive. You can get a whole collection of consumer health tips in a free booklet called How to Become a Wise Dental Consumer. Just write the American Dental Association, Chicago, 60611.
Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is George Thorogood.
With so much importance placed upon one's own songs, it's interesting to note that George Thorogood doesn't write that many songs. He's more of an interpreter, doing other people's songs the way he feels they were meant to be done. When it comes to the blues, there's such a wealth of material to draw from. Why write more?
The Bible's been written.
You still feel that way about music as far as playing it?
Yeah, I do. But I'm going to try to write some of my own songs anyway. But I really don't feel there's a necessity for it. I mean, let's face it, the world does not need me as a songwriter, you know. Let's face it, the world does not need our band as a rock and roll band. I mean, they got the Rolling Stones, they got Jay Giles, they got Chuck Berry. What do they need us for?
Well, I'll tell you, you know what my answer to that would be? It's because they're not as traditional and or basic as you are.
Yeah, but they're good, just as good.
Oh, they're wonderful. It's just that they've carried it one step further than you have.
You know, my reasoning is for that reason, then they don't need us. What we're doing has already been done. See, I just play for the fun of it.
I know you do.
You know, I mean, that's...
I know, that's what this whole tour is about.
You know,
being able
that's what
to,
everything's about.
Being able to drive 200 to 500 miles and meet the people along the way and bump into people in bathrooms and laundromats and...
Now that sounds like the Destroyers. Now you know us.
Oh, I know you.
Now you know us.
Sure I do.
I'll tell you a story about the house went blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went. So I goes to the landlady. I said, you let me slide. I have the rent for it tomorrow, the next day I don't know. So she let me slide it on, you know, people. I notice when I come home in the evening, she ain't got nothing nice to say to me. But for 5 years, she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. I come home one particular evening. The landlady said, you got the rent money yet? I said, no. Can't find no job. Therefore, I ain't got no money to pay the rent. She said, I don't believe you're trying to find no job. Said, I seen you today. You were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired. I've been walking all day. She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come out, didn't have a rent. And out the door I went. So I go down the street, down to my good friend's house. I said, look, man, I'm outdoors, you know. Can I stay with you maybe a couple days? He said, let me go and ask my wife. He come out of the house. I could see in his face. I know there was no. He said, I don't know, man. She kind of funny, you know. I said, I know. Everybody funny. Now you funny too. So I go back home. I tell the landlady, I got a job, I'm gonna pay the rent. She said, yeah. I said, oh yeah. And then she was so nice. Lord, she was lovey-dovey. So I go in my room, pack up my things and I go. I slip on out the back door. Down the streets I go. She hollering about the front rent. She'll be lucky to get in the back rent. She ain't gonna get none of it. So I stop in the local bar, you know, people. I go to the bar. I rent my coat. I call a bartender. I say, look, man, come down here. He got down there. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since I don't know when. I've been drinking bourbon, whiskey, scotch and gin. Gonna get high, man, I'm gonna get loose. Need me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. But I'm sitting out at the bar. I'm getting drunk. I'm feeling mellow. I'm drinking bourbon. I'm drinking scotch. I'm drinking beer. Look down the bar. Here comes the bartender. I said, look, man. Come down here. So what you want? No one bourbon. One scotch. One beer. No, I ain't seen my baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch.
You're gonna have to work double hard to keep your laundry up with, I think, your tour.
Oh, God, that's the one drawback of this business is laundry.
It's laundry. God. Somebody has to do laundry.
That's right, and I love doing it. But I just don't have the time.
I know.
I love doing the laundry. You know,
hanging out in a laundromat sometimes can be fun.
Oh, well, it's not that. It's just a nice regrouping type thing, you know, and you come back, a big stack of fresh laundry. You know, everybody says, well, it's great. You meet Mick Jagger. You get to meet, you know, you met Sheila Renee. You get to play here. You got to play here. It's great, isn't it? And I said, hey, you know what it really boils down to? Getting enough sleep and getting your laundry done. There's not enough time to do laundry or get enough sleep. That's it. When we're on the road, the guy, we'll get in the car the next day and I'll say, I got to sleep at 1 o'clock last night. I didn't wake up once. I said, wow, that guy will be a star for the whole day. When I used to be a street singer here in San Francisco, we used to show up at the coffee gallery every night about 10 o'clock and everybody would play and pass the hat. And the big thing was about 7 o'clock, everybody would sit around and someone would say, I ate today. And then that person was the king for the night. And it'd be quiet for about 10 minutes and someone would say, what'd you have? And they'd say, I had a hamburger. With pickles. That was the big thing. You ate today. So on the road, it's like, hey, I slept last night.
Yeah.
I slept good.
I
didn't wake up once.
That's going to be tough, trying to sleep in a checkered cab.
Well, we sleep in it anyway. We never, we catnap here and there, you know. But it's not going to be that rough.
No.
No, I don't think so.
More fun than rough.
Hey.
I wish I could be there on a little fly speck.
You know? I'll give you a call now and again, let you know how we're doing.
Well, all right. You know when your mouth is getting dry, you're plenty high. I look down the bar, I see to my bartender. I said, look, mad, come down here. He got down there, so what you want this time? I said, look, mad, what time is it? He said, the clock on the wall says 3 o'clock. A last call for alcohol. So what you need? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. Well, I ain't seen my baby since a night on a week. Gotta get drunk, man, so I can't even speak. Gonna get high, man, listen to me. One drink ain't enough, Jack, you better make it three. Gonna get drunk, I'm gonna make it real clear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Can we talk about what's going to happen after that?
Sure.
The Around the World in 80 Days tour?
Sure.
Is that something that we can talk about?
Sure, more? We're in the process of putting that together. We're going to start that right around New Year's Eve and work straight up to about the 21st of March and do that thing. And one thing has come up since then, Sheila. I've been offered to do a part in a movie.
Fine. Oh. Page 2. Any good scripts?
Yeah, well, I've been offered a part in a movie, and it might take place either in February or June. I don't know which. And I've been offered it. Let's not go any farther than that. Oh. Because I don't, you know, we got some people studying the financial logistics of it, you know, which is not my territory. See, I just smile and sign autographs, and, you know.
And play. Like a son of a gun.
And just play. But if that happens, that'll kind of interrupt the tour. If it doesn't happen, the tour will proceed uninterrupted.
George Thorogood will be the first to tell you that he handles nothing but the music. All the business and business-related matters are handled by other people. This leaves George plenty of time to pursue his one great love, playing the blues. We'll be right back with more from George Thorogood.
From San Francisco, this is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight, Sheila takes you backstage for a behind-the-scenes visit with today's music makers. Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is George Thorogood.
A large part of George's career to date has been spent in trying to gain acceptance and attract a following that would appreciate his style of music. It looks like he's accomplished that part. Now George would like to show the people he respects that he's earned his reputation fair and square.
I just think that the whole two ideas of a 50-50 tour,
mm-hmm,
and then around the world,
mm-hmm,
in 80 right, days tour is something that you pointed out earlier, that the big guys, I like to call them the big guys.
That's what, know? I call them too.
The big guys.
I call them the big boys.
The big boys.
The big boys.
In fact, watching B.B. King last night on Johnny Carson, he had a tailored suit on. Mm-hmm. He looked sharp. But that sucker's done around the world in,
sure,
80 days.
He's done around the world 800 days.
Yeah. Has never stopped.
Well, see, that was the theory behind this thing, Sheila. You know, we did a stretch in Canada last year. We did 13 nights in a row, and 11 of them were all doubleheaders. And we did, you know, two shows a night, and they were like 2.5 hours long, which added up to about 5 hours of playing. And I mean intense playing. So all the shows were sold out, and we were still raring to go. I remember B.B. King doing like 345 one-night stands in 1958 or something, and Chuck Berry did 101 nights and 101, you know, that famous thing he's got.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay Giles once did 40 straight nights once, you know. And I was thinking, well, if we want to really get in the big leagues, so, see, I want to do something like that. So after it's done, if James Brown, if I ever meet James Brown or Chuck Berry, they'll say, kid, you don't know. I'll be able to say, I do know. I can cut it, mister. You know, and until that happens, I'm still going to think, well, I'm kind of, you know, we're just this far away, you know, we're just this far away. Once we get this done, we'll be able to say, hey, whatever you throw at the Destroyers, they can handle it. They can do it. They'll bring home the goods.
I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. For a necktie, a brand new house along the roadside, and it's made out of rattlesnake hide. Got a brand new gin that baby built on top, and it's made out of human skull. Come on, take a little walk with me, baby, and tell me, who do you love? Who do you love? Now line the pound and use a rattlesnake whip. Take it easy, baby, don't you give me no lip. Who do you love? Love. I got a tombstone and a graveyard mine. I'm just 22 and I don't mind dying. Who do you love? Yeah, who do you love? Oh, who do you love?
by my hand. She said, Lonesome George, you don't understand who we love. The night was dark and the sky was blue. Down the alleyway, I swagged through. Hit a bump and somebody scream. You should have heard just what I seen. Who do you love? Who do you love? Yeah, who do you love? Oh, who do you Baby, I don't mind dying. Snakeskin shoes, baby, put them on your feet. Got the good time music with the boat in the beat. Yeah, who do you love? Woo, who do you love? I walk 47 miles of barbed wire. I got a cobra snake for a necktie. House out on the roadside, and it's a bed out of rattlesnake hide. Got a brand new gin, I'm a bit on top, and it's a bed out of human skull. Come on, take a little walk with me, child. Tell me, who do you love? Yeah, who do you love?
'77. That's what drew me to you, was your complete individuality, your complete George Thorogood goodness. You know what I mean? What did you think when you've got the first notification that the Stones wanted you on as many dates as possible on their national tour? Because you're jumping from the club scene, which everybody loves you in, to the medium,
to the biggest.
The biggest.
Yeah.
This is the biggest tour that I've ever known about in my life.
Yeah.
And that's 42 years of trying to keep up with these things, George.
And you're knocking them dead, Sheila, let me tell
well,
you.
Well, but I mean, I'm trying to keep up, but this you're is the biggest one ever.
Well, that's true. Well, I thought when it first came about, we begged, borrowed, and stealed to try to get one date on the show. And not as a launching pad for our career. I've never really gone in that direction. That's not really my thing. I'm
You're
a fan.
Launched, baby. You're launched.
I'm a fan of the Stones. And I thought it might be their last tour. And I figured if anybody deserves to be on a Stones show, it's the Destroyers. Really for the fact that we understand what Chuck Berry's all about. And we understand what Bo Diddley's all about and Slim Harpo. And the Stones idols, what have you. And we've really studied them, emulated them, worshipped them, became them. And I just thought it would be a compatible program. And I told this to our booking agent, who agreed with me wholeheartedly. He called Mr. Graham's office. They went crazy about it. And it was just as easy as that. And they just kept bugging Bill Graham about it. And finally he said, okay, we'll see what we can do. And he said, I want the Destroyers. I want Jay Giles. I want the Stones to be the opening date in Philadelphia, September 15th. So I said, you got to get me on the show. And Mike kept saying, well, you're on, no problem. He said, they're just got to work out a few things. I said, I don't want to go out to the bars, or I don't want to go to the bowling alley and tell anybody that this is going to happen unless I see it. See, that's the way I am. I can't just say, well, it's being worked on, you know. So once it got down, and we were in Australia, we found out we got Philadelphia, and then we found out we got Boulder, and then we found out we got Buffalo, then we got L.A., and there's one thing after another, and we had 11 dates all together. And I don't know, I've never followed the Stones tours that closely. I don't know how many other bands have been lucky enough to get on 11 of their shows, but I don't think it's been that many. And what can I say? It was a flattering thing in the world for us.
My baby left me, my mule got lame. Lost my money in a poker game. A windstorm came just the other day. Blew the house that I lived in away. I'm having so much trouble. So much trouble. So much trouble. I'm about to lose my mind. Started selling whiskey, wine and gin. They called me last week and last night again. Now the sheriff, he comes in sight. Walked to my house and got me shooting dice. I'm having so much trouble. So much trouble, so much trouble, I'm about to lose my mind. Carried me away, my pajamas on. I even hate that I was born. They let me out and I go across town. Couldn't find my baby, she'd put me down. I'm having so much trouble, so much trouble, so much trouble, I'm about.
Now, how, at one time, before I think you really convinced everybody that you really liked the way you were doing it, you liked Rounder. Since this tour have the big boys, now I'm not talking about our musician big boys, I'm talking about the musical magnates.
Yeah,
Have they started hounding you again? Have they still maybe not let up on you a little bit to come be with our big record company? Come let us help you save the world routine, you know?
Well, they haven't. I have a few people now that take care of that for us. And they haven't hounded me, but they've hounded them. Let's put it that way.
I've personally.
Not hounded. Let's say I've heard a few things. I can't say really for sure. I don't like to say because I haven't heard anything. But people around me have speculated and even heard a few rumors here and there about it, you know, certain thing, you know, management things and record deals and what have you. But, you know, you still got to go out and play.
You've always been so accessible to people that I can remember back in 77 watching big record people just walk up to you and say, you know, we got to have you on our label. I mean, just right out and tell you that sort of stuff. So I just wondered if maybe they hadn't gotten the message yet that George was going to do it his way. Even if it was the long way or the hard way, and most of all,
that's the only way I know is the hard way. Right. 50 states and 50 nights. That's the only way I do know. You know that, Sheila.
Went to the races, placed my bed, my hard luck, my horse, and yet I go cross town after bows my door. Even landlady changed the lock on the door. I'm having so much trouble, so much trouble, so much trouble. I'm about to lose my mind. Pawned my watch, pawned my chain, I'd have pawned myself, but I was ashamed. Got a job on a city pay, late one morning, laid me off that day. So much trouble, so much trouble, so much trouble, I'm about to lose my mind. Lost my money in a poker game. A windstorm came just the other day. Blew the house that I lived in away. I'm having so much trouble.
so much trouble. So much trouble, I'm about to lose my mind. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
I'm having the time of my life, you know. I'm playing with the Stones and playing with Jay Giles, and I'm really enjoying it. So yeah. That's later, you know. That's later. I can't, you know, when you get between the white lines, you know, you just get out there and got to hit the hell out of the ball.
Yeah,
you know, we'll take that up at contract time.
Contract time.
Yeah, we'll take
when,
that up
when the season ends.
Exactly.
It?
Yeah.
In a business as complex as music, it's easy to say I'll do what I want, but not so easy to do it. Thurgood has not given in. He does what he wants, how he wants. Maybe this is why it's taken him a little longer, but it was certainly worth the wait. We'll be back with more George Thurgood.
This is Elvis Costello for Save the Children. Growing up under normal conditions is hard enough, but when a child has to tangle with hunger, disease, and poverty, he hardly has a chance. In this country and the developing nations around the world, Save the Children gives thousands of kids a chance to grow up happy, or even just to grow up. Find out how you can help by writing to Save the Children, Department R, Westport, Connecticut 06880.
Sheila Renee Backstage will return in a moment. This is Sheila Renee Backstage. Tonight's guest is George Thurgood.
Said we dance in Mississippi at an Alpha Kappa dance. It wasn't me. Woo, it wasn't me. Yeah, you must have met some other buddy. No, no, child, it wasn't me. We'll be right back.
Jim Rissmiller is a rock promoter in the Los Angeles area, the counterpart to Bill Graham in San Francisco. He also gives of himself by teaching classes pertaining to music and the music business in the Los Angeles area.
I loved what happened when Ian Stewart showed up to play with you at the country club.
Mm.
Was that a surprise to you? And didn't you show up to speak at a...
Oh, yeah.
With Ian to all this class?
Yes, yeah, I did. Did you hear about that?
Yes, oh, that must have blown some minds, George.
Well, it was fun.
But, I mean, who would have ever expected, you know, for Rissmiller, we're talking about...
Well, they invited Ian, and Ian invited me.
I know.
No, that was a big thing. Actually, Ian showing up to play with us at the country club, that was planned about a week in advance. We had talked about that. He had kept saying, he said, I really like your band, I'd like to play with you. We were in Philadelphia the first time we played. The second show we did, he was watching us on stage, and he said, he had met Jeff Simon in England once, our drummer, he had met him, and they were friendly, and he said, when we get to California, he said, I hear you're going to do a show out there. I'd love to come out and play with you. And we said, oh, no problem. So we'd been talking about it. And then finally he said, listen, he goes, these Rolling Stones guys, I don't know. I can't play with them. And I just, you know, and he goes, can I come play with you? And we said, well, sure. So he came out and played the last two numbers with us on a show in L.A.
Reading and Rockin', wasn't that one of them?
Really? Yeah. Were you there for that?
No, but...
Sheila hears all, and Sheila knows all. You can't slip them past Sheila.
I try to stay tuned in, George.
You don't even, Sheila, I can see you did. He did that, and then he did the country club with us. Then he came back Sunday and played the whole show with us.
In that little class that you showed up at the request.
That's me. Very little class. Very little class.
Didn't someone ask if he were going to give you some advice? If Ian Stewart,
yeah, that's true,
was going to give you some advice.
You sure you were in L.A. this weekend, Sheila?
He would give you the following advice.
The following advice. Someone said, what would you give a young, upcoming punk like George Thurgood any advice? And he said, he said, don't let anybody handle your finances except for yourself. Which
you
I thought
already know that.
Which I thought was very bad advice, because I don't know anything about finance. And then he said, and stay away from drugs, and stay away from alcohol, which is the worst drug. And that's all he said. He didn't say anything about music, or I guess he figured musically we know what we're doing. And he said everything else, he said, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Well, you would certainly agree with that, and you've always been able to do that in your life.
Well, finances I never had to worry about, because I never had any money. I always handle my own finances. When you got $10, you know, nobody wants to handle it for you. The other things, you know, morally or whatever, I just, you know, I can't drink more than 3 beers at a time or I'll fall out. As far as drugs go, they just don't work for me. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm morally against it, or, well, it's against the law anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's like not liking liver and peas.
Yeah.
It's just something that just doesn't...
Yeah, but the one
I like playing. That's the kick.
Yeah.
You know, that puts me in high gear.
You were saying the only thing you didn't like about the Stones tour is that you can only play...
Right.
Like the first quarter of what you would normally play.
Right,
else,
exactly.
You know? Yeah. And that's always frustrating to every musician. They never get to play enough.
No.
That's the only complaint I ever hear. It's not the road. It's not the food. It's not the sleep. It's not the broads.
Right.
It's...
Can't play
be.
Enough.
But he didn't mention anything about women, George.
Well, I've never had any trouble with women, Sheila.
I know you don't, George. I know you have no trouble. In fact, I've always thought, wanted your album to be perhaps, in fact, I heard that might be postponed, Wanted All Over the World, a live recording, that it could be Wanted All Over the World by women, you know, sort of thing. Because women all over the world are different, and you're getting up in your late 20s now.
I'm getting old.
And I know that the first thing in your mind is the music and the playing, but have you been tempted yet to fall in love?
I fall in love 100 times a day.
That's the kind of...
I fall in love every time I look in a mirror or pick up a guitar. I've never had any problem with that, because I'm not really that popular off the bandstand. I've never had any problem with that.
I can't imagine, George, that you simply being yourself wouldn't just draw the foxiest broad in the place. No, really, seriously.
Well, if that's something I'll have to...
But yeah. I'm just hoping that women don't get in the way.
Well, I hope they don't get... I hope nothing gets in the way. I don't look at it as just girls or drugs or alcohol or anything. I hope nothing gets in the way. You gotta pursue what is your strongest interest. And my strongest interest is being a performer, an entertainer, and a guitarist. I mean, I have girls that I'm friendly with, and I get along very good with, and I don't see enough of them. But that's not my main ambition in life. That's not my main thing, to socialize with, you know, people like that. It may be someday.
Yeah.
And when that day comes, then fine, that'll be the right thing for me to do.
Yeah.
But it's not right now. You know, there's so many things I have to learn on the bandstand, so many things I got to work out before I can really walk up to a girl and look her in the eye and say, I'm the one. You know? And until that happens, I won't be able to take any girl seriously. You follow? Because yeah. I've had women say, well, you're it for me. You're the one. And I'll say, and I'll think to myself, I'm not it. You know, I haven't written Start All Over Again. Or, I haven't written Tumbling Dice yet. Or I haven't been able to perform 50 straight nights in a row yet. I haven't cut the album yet. So in my own opinion, I'll never be able to really settle with anyone until I feel that when they say, you're the one, I believe it. Because I don't believe it. I don't really feel I've accomplished that yet. I haven't grown up yet, you know?
God, I hope we never do, George.
Well, I hope to grow up more. I don't hope to grow up totally.
Oh, come here, baby. Got your radio turned down too low. Turn it up to get me what I'm saying, honey.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. Every year I look forward to spending time with George Thorogood, and he brings me presents too. Special thanks and much love to George Thorogood and the Destroyers, to Mike Kappas, Ken Baker, and Michael Coates. It's truly a pleasure playing on your team. I'll be back in a moment with a word about next week's show. Next week, tune in when we'll highlight women in rock. We'll present the Pretenders and the Go-Go's. Until then, be kind to each other, and I'll be backstage again next week.
Sheila Renee Backstage was produced by Stephen Dunwoody and Billy Vega. This has been another Out of the Bag production.